Welcome to show number 71 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is going on, everybody? Glad to be with you today on the Sports Card Show podcast. Got lots to talk about, from everything from the UFC to football to 2011 Topps Baseball coming out. We got a bankroll challenge between me and my brother. I ended up buying some other cards, not for the challenge, but for my own collection. So we'll talk about that. Panini has a response to what we talked about on our last show, show number 70, I think it was. And we'll talk about their response and maybe some of the kind of things they've done since to maybe ease some collectors' questions and things like that. And maybe they have, maybe they haven't. So we'll talk about that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So we might as well get into a little bit of news. We'll get into our bankroll challenge. Last week, or last maybe 2 weeks ago, I talked to you on the show about buying a Wesley Matthews, about buying a Gary Brown autograph. Well, what ended up happening is my brother and I started talking, and as sometimes things go, there a challenge gets made, a bet gets thrown down. My brother wanted the Gary Brown, and I wanted the Wesley. So we threw down, they're about the same price. So we threw down, we made a challenge. So what we ended up doing is we're going to spend $20 a month total each. So $10 on Check Out My Cards and $10 on eBay. And the requirement is you have to spend about 60% of that money. So you have to make sure you spend about 60% of your money. At the end of the month, you can't have more than 40% in cash. So if you have $10, you need to have no more than $4 in cash. So, and how we're pricing the cards is we buy the cards, and you don't get a loss on the sale until you actually sell it. So that's kind of a realized gains or losses. So it's kind of the same as the stock market. I heard lots of people said, I lost a lot of money in the stock market in the 2008 because I was buying in 2000 or 1990 or 1975 or whatever, and it's all back down. Well, you never really made that money until you actually sold it. And same kind of goes with cards. You could say, hey, I have all these real expensive cards and they're worth all this kind of money. But until you have that cash in hand, the cards really aren't worth as much as you probably think they are. So we're counting the wins and losses that way. So the Wesley Matthews, I ended up already selling. So I already put that on eBay. They had a deal where you could list any price auctions for free. Usually it's under 99 cents, I think. So I listed the Wesley Matthews, got a bid, and made $1.81, I think, on the sale. So I ended up making $1.80 on a card I bought. I think I put it on eBay the day I got it in the mail. So because I knew eBay's offer was running out for the free auction listing, so I wanted to put it on just to see if I could sell it. I knew Brandon Roy was coming back, so I know he's maybe not going to be the same player coming back, but it might cut into Wesley's production, so I wanted to get rid of it, honestly. So I'm glad we set up the challenge. So you can follow that. If you can't find it on our website, you can search it probably on Google or on our site as well. There's a search box at the top as well. So you'll be able to find our challenge. I'm listing every single card. My brother and I've bought 96 cards total for like 20-something bucks, and my brother has bought, I think, about 60-something cards. And he's up about 18, 19 cents, and I'm up about $1.80. So it's in our first month, we're already making money. So we kind of set this up as a curiosity to see if you could make money, quote-unquote, because we're only counting unrealized gains, because it'd be too confusing to go on book value, which is sometimes those never move. I mean, you have guys that are playing great right now, and their prices are like locked in stone in the Beckett magazine. So, you know, those kind of things happen. Sometimes guys go down way after the fact, and it was just too much of a hassle, so it only counts when you sell it. But the whole goal is to turn it over, because if you're really in this kind of challenge, as you're only counting gains and losses as you sell it, well, yeah, you could hold onto your cards and never book any losses or gains, but you're hoarding all your cash and you don't free up any money. Like when I sold the Wesley Matthews, I freed up my $7 investment plus the $1.81, so I freed up $8.81, and we're only 2 months in. And so I've only invested $40. So to free up $8, that's like almost 25% of my bankroll, probably closer to 20% of my bankroll that I freed up just by selling a card. So now I have that whole $8 to spend. I actually have to spend it because I have too much cash. So it's kind of a fun challenge. We're going to run it throughout the year and see where it goes. And we might do little mini challenges along the way and maybe some other little contests associated with it. But and I'll definitely talk about it. If I'm in the lead, I'll definitely talk about it on the show. And if I'm not in the league, or if I'm not have a shot at winning, then we'll get my brother to maybe record a piece and he'll talk about it because I might be kind of too bummed out. But now that I'm in the lead, I'm definitely going to be plugging it right at the front of the show. When I'm in last, I'll probably save it for the back end. But we'll save some products. I forgot to pimp the products. I think I actually said what we were going to talk about today, but I'll go into them more depth just in case you missed it. We're going to talk a little bit more about 2011 Tops baseball that came out last week or so. We'll talk about that, some of the little interesting cards in there. Plates and Patches football came out maybe a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm not 100% sure. Obviously, I'll fill you in more on the details in a later segment on the show about that, but that's kind of a pretty big price product. All these products I'm not going to open, including 2010, although we opened up Topps Baseball already. We have already had a contest, and then I'm getting another box, and I feel pretty comfortable about saying this. BaseballFactorySets.com is hooking us up with a jumbo box, not just a regular hobby box, but we're getting a hobby jumbo box of 2011 Topps from one of our loyal sponsors at sportscardradio.com. So we're very happy for BaseballFactorySets.com to be hooking us up with that. And so be on the lookout for that contest. That'll be on the forum. I might even do a YouTube video to promote that. So you'll definitely have a chance to check that out. And we'll talk about UFC Knockout, a product I won't open, but it's kind of interesting. So the UFC fights, I guess it was last weekend now that I'm recording this podcast on a Thursday or Friday. I'm not exactly sure what day it is, but it was last Saturday, the UFC fights, and it was cool. Silva, like, kicked a guy right in the face. I'm sure you've seen it on ESPN. That's kind of interesting for the ESPN and the UFC in general, is that I remember back when the UFC was just taking off, they wouldn't even cover the sport on ESPN. I think I might have talked about this on the show before, but now they have like little sit-down segments like they do, like not NBA Tonight. I'm not exactly sure. I don't have ESPN, but I've seen it enough in little like sports bars or at other people's houses and stuff to see little segments where they bring in experts to talk about the MMA and the big pay-per-view coming up. They run it on the Bottom Line and things like that. So it's made it into the, you know, this is not new. This is months and months that they have it, but I do. The point is, I remember when ESPN was not covering it, it was not giving it the kind of attention. So I can only imagine the kind of attention it gives forward. You know, football and basketball, they all have their own networks, and baseball have their own networks, and they have their own little Baseball Tonights and NBA Fast Breaks or whatever it is. So we'll be seeing maybe similar things to come for the UFC. It's a huge, there's lots of money in that sport. So they don't pay the fighters nearly as much as the fighters really could be making. So we'll see what happens. That's all business, but we'll talk about cards. We'll talk about UFC Knockout, which came out, I think, just a couple days ago or last week. So we'll talk about some sets that are out. So we'll be able to talk about maybe some of the cards that have been pulled, some of the hot cards in there. We'll definitely inform you on some of the SPs, since I didn't have a chance to do that in 2011. Topps Baseball. But right after this short break, we're going to be coming back with the Panini response to the Sam Bradford one of one. I know we went on that last show. If you're not familiar with the situation, I might as well tell you to you now. Just briefly, a collector got a Sam Bradford one of one, a Derrick Rose one of one card. These are all came out of products. They weren't special cards. Sam Bradford, I think, was out of Certified Football, is the one of one mirror black card, which has the potential to be worth in the five figure range, possibly. And he also got a Tom Brady numbered out of 5 of 5. Very nice cards as replacements. And now, obviously, as you're a collector, if you're busting certified or if you're a Sam Bradford collector and you got a bunch of money to blow and you've been looking for that card, you're kind of bummed out. It never made it into a pack, never made it out of the, you know, normal. So it's kind of the chicken or the egg thing. Does the single card come first or does it come out of the pack? You know, does it come off of the factory line and into collector's hand, or does it always come from a pack and a box? So now we kind of have that kind of, you know, did it come from a redemption card? Did it come from the the company giving you it as a replacement for other unredeemed redemption cards or damage cards or whatever it might be. So that's the situation. Panini had a brief response, so we'll talk a little bit about that. I've seen some things they've done since then with other sets, so we'll talk a little bit about that. And then in the same segment, as long as my voice doesn't go out, we'll probably roll out our 2011 Topps baseball, like the SPs, some of the things in there to look for. I can imagine there's going to be a few more things coming out, a few more, I don't want to maybe call them surprises, but there'll probably be some more things coming out from this set in the future weeks. So, but we'll talk about the early stuff and a bunch more right after this.
Paula wants a cracker. Think I should get off the first. Think she wants some water to put out the blowtorch. Is it me? Heaven save. Let me clear dirty lanes. Let me take a ride. Hurt yourself. Want some help? Help myself. Got some rope. Haven't told. Promise you. Haven't you? Let me take a ride, hurt yourself. Want some help, help myself.
And we are back. Time to talk a little bit about the Panini situation, and then we'll talk about 2011 Top Series 1 Baseball, some of the short prints in there. I guess we could talk about the Super Bowl, since that was like the biggest sporting event, most watched TV event of all time, I think. Time's running short. Green Bay beat Pittsburgh. You guys know the whole story. We don't need to talk about it. The commercials might have been cooler than the game if you're someone like me, so, and you hate the Steelers. But we'll move on. Panini came out with an official announcement on the Sam Bradford Mirror Black 1/1. Here's their statement coming from PaniniAmerica.wordpress.com. Quote, to ensure quality product in the marketplace, it is Panini America's practice to pull product from the production run for quality control purposes. The cards from the product pulled for quality control go to customer service to be used to correct any problems that may occur in an individual product. Extensive efforts are made to reintroduce rare cards to the pack-out process before the cards are routed to customer service. However, under certain unusual circumstances, this is not possible. Quote. So that's kind of interesting. I think if you had heard, I think I mentioned it on our blog, but or on our fan forum, actually, that Card Corner Club, they had Stephen Judd on there. I don't think I said this on show number 70. I don't think I had listened to it yet. But he gave basically this same explanation a couple weeks ago, maybe a week or two ago, basically saying this is typical, they pull 2%. You definitely want to go back and listen to it. I'm only going to be able to paraphrase what ends up being a pretty nice. And they had like Dimitri Young on there. I definitely highly recommend you going and checking out cardcornerclub.net, their last episode. They probably even have another one since then, maybe even two. So definitely want to check that out. But in terms of quality control, they pull out about 2% off the line. And Panini lately, I saw on, they put quality controlling playoff contenders, gallery, and controversial video. So they're trying to put out information to the collectors and things like that, just to let them know that they are putting these cards into circulation. I guess Panini might have gotten into a little trouble doing that. However, they're trying to gain the collector's trust back. I think that this situation probably some shades of doubt, but I think this probably situation gave them enough heat and they took notice of it that hits like this, a Sam Bradford or whatever the next number one pick rookie is, Blake Griffin in last year's basketball, whatever it is, those hits are probably going to make it into the products. And if they don't, my suggestion, what I'd love to see these come back into packs. It doesn't have to be like the Sam Bradford doesn't have to be repackaged into certified. I can understand you don't got the printer that prints that kind of label anymore and it's expensive, whatever. Print out some foil packs that say replacement pack on it or whatever. So the card, I just feel like these cards should always come from the pack. I just think that, and that somewhat randomizes whether Panini has their own ways of you know, counting what's in each randomized pack is on them. But I would put all these cards that get returned for quality control and don't get sent out as damage replacements or some other kind of replacement, especially large hits, put them back into some kind of quote-unquote replacement pack or some kind of foil pack, then send that to the collector. And then the collector can at least say, hey, I got this replacement pack from Panini, or I got this box of cards with these replacement packs in it, and it had the Sam Bradford one of one. Then I think the collectors are still going to get steamed up. They're going to be like, why is that in a replacement pack? But at least we know the explanation. At least more well-educated collectors, if you're listening to this show, and especially if you listen to CardCornerClub.net, you're going to be educated. You're going to know cards are going to get pulled off. Cards 5 of 5, 10 of 10, 25 of 25. There might only be 24 or 23 of them out there because they might have pulled a few of them. We already knew this, and I guess now we know what happens with 1 of 1 cards. Just my beef, my suggestion would probably, I'd love to see this randomized somehow. I know if a collector sends in $10,000 worth of redemptions that can't be sent out, you got to take care of the guy, but send him a case of Panini plates and patches that just came out. Send him, three, four, five cases of stuff that's just sitting there. I think that would be the much more logical solution. I'd love to see product be given out as replacement instead of individual cards. If you don't have the individual card and you don't have a suitable replacement, I'd love to see product being sent out. I don't know how collectors that, obviously I just bought a redemption for the first time in like 10 years maybe, or my brother did actually. So, but I don't know how other collectors really feel about that. But I think if I got just some random dude, even if it was like a Joe Montana, like I was supposed to get some Joe Montana autograph, I'd really want that card, and say Joe Montana couldn't sign or whatever. He just didn't do the card, and Panini couldn't get another Joe Montana card. You know, don't send me a Mark Sanchez. Don't send me even Tim Tebow. I don't want those guys. Just send me a box of whatever it is. If it was a Contenders autograph, send me. If you got a box of Contenders, hey, send me a box of Contenders. If that, you know, if it's a year later, send me a box of 2012 Contenders. I'm not going to be sweating it. You know what I mean? Or send me something that's out at the current time that's like a $100 box or an $80 box, comparable to whatever I pull. If it's a if I pulled it out of a National Treasures box that costs $300, send me three boxes. Send me your most expensive box. Send me a case of something. You know what I mean? I just love to see cards never be, you know, it kind of puts the manufacturers in a tough spot. If it was all packaged up and all sent out randomly, quote unquote, I don't think you'd see as many problems with this kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens. Definitely opens up the door to improvements and things like that. Sometimes the best way to learn things, best way to grow as a company, especially one that, even though they had Donruss, it was really just brands. And I know that, you know, they have people like Tracy Hackler, who's been in the business a long time. They've got brand managers that have been there that were there in the Donruss age, I'm sure. But you know, it's still a growing process. We're not talking about a 100-year-old business like, you know, pumping out cars or pumping out even like Toyota. As you can see, we've been making cars for 100 years. Toyota can't even get the brake pedal and the gas thing to work. You know what I mean? So things happen in manufacturing and production and distribution. So hopefully the company learns from them. Cards aren't quite as complicated as cars. Take out the D. So I hope they can correct the problem and rectify them quickly, because cards are very collectible, can be very collectible, but if you screw them up, they are pretty much worthless, and they're not worth as much. They're not going to be worth the time the athletes to sign them or to give their jerseys up and things of that nature. So hopefully the companies can do a good job. We're hopefully doing a good job here at Sports Card Radio promoting, keeping you up in the news. Sometimes the news not always good, but you know, like I said, sometimes you got to make mistakes. Sometimes you got to take a step back to take a couple steps forward. So hopefully Panini does that. And we're going to take a couple steps forward here, and we're going to talk about 2011 top Series 1 baseball a little bit more. I said on the last show that there was going to be 25 legends. Looks like there's only 24 unless there's like one super SP. Looks like most people have only found 24. We got that full list. There's these Diamond Sparkle or Diamond Twinkle. It depends on who you ask or who what their opinion of them on, I guess. Diamond Sparkle variations. There's believed to be, I think, 50 to 60. Not 100%. It's either 50 or 60, I think. And I'm going to have the full checklist up here once I get them all sorted out. But I have an Ichiro picture where the regular Ichiro has him swinging, and the other one looks like he has like a really shiny brand new diamond Rolex on, and it kind of glimmers in the thing. Glimmers in the, you know, the picture. Just like kind of like a real diamond would. So it's kind of playing off their diamond anniversary, 60th anniversary or whatever it is. So I noticed some of the to be announced on, especially the relic cards, they had about 10 to 20 that were to be announced. I think they only filled about 10 of those, and they were almost all Yankees. So, you know, as a West Coast collector and the Giants winning the World Series, I'd love to see more Giants, although there is a world champion set, and we'll talk about that in a little bit more in a couple minutes here, but to finish my point, a lot of Yankees added. I understand the Yankees' most popular franchise. They're one of the most popular franchises in all of sports and all of the whole world. I know that they have the most famous old baseball players. I know the Topps is in New York, and I know they have contracts and have had contracts with all the great Yankee players from the past and the present. However, it'd be great if you could just add a few more players. I know Steiner Sports is there probably giving you a direct feed on these guys or whoever it is that's unloading the Yankee merchandise, whoever has the exclusive deal to that. But, you know, Robinson Cano, George Posada, Johnny Damon, Phil Hughes, Mariano Rivera, CC Sabathia, Andy Pettit. And that's about 10 that were added. Those were all the Yankees. So I just think that, you know, it's a cool checklist. I'm not saying that it's a lot of Yankees. There's still like Don Mattingly, Lee Babe Ruth, Derek Jeter. So it's almost the highest percentages in Yankees. But when you add even more, Alex Rodriguez is in there. When you add even more Yankees, I mean, it's cool for the Yankee collectors, but, you know, the Yankees are one of those teams. It's just like the, you know, I understand, you know, Yankee fans are sitting out there like, hey, why are you hating on the Yankees? Well, I ain't really hating on the Yankees. I'm a Lakers fan. I understand what it's like to have fans hate on your team. You either love the Lakers or you absolutely hate them. You want them to go away. You want a bomb to be dropped on Staples Center when they're playing preferably like the Miami Heat or something. So it's exactly that same kind of, you know, not that I hate the Yankees, but if I pull a Yankee out of a box, it's immediately for sale. And I guess that's good for collectors that are into selling, but there's a lot of collectors that aren't into selling and that aren't into the Yankees. You know, I'd like to see them diversify a little bit. Like I said, the San Francisco Giants won the World Series, and they have their own World Champions set. It has the World Series logo. Be careful here. These jerseys and these bats and these things, these more than likely, read the back of the card, they're not from the World Series. These are not a jersey worn in a World Series game. In fact, I think Madison Bumgarner's jersey was worn in, like, the Futures game. And I don't even think he pitched in that game. So you want to be very careful about buying these if you think they're world champions. I've seen big prices on – I've seen just common jersey cards go for a lot of money for, you know, someone like Cody Ross and like Aubrey Huff. Their jersey cards don't normally sell in the double digits. And so I've been seeing that. I know it has the World Series logo. I know the Giants are kind of hot, especially out here in the Bay Area. Collectors are trying to eat up as much and everything as they can because it's been 50 years, mind you. So, but I can imagine maybe some real World Series relics and things of that nature might appear or materialize. So be careful. Just wanted to note that. If you don't care about that, and I know a lot of people don't, and maybe the people that are buying don't care, but I just wanted to make you aware of that. There are, at the retail level, there are red, blue and purple diamond inserts. The purple are found at Target, and there's 10 of those. Blue are found at Walmart, and red are found at Target. So just wanted to point that out as well. And I think there's another exclusive set found only in Target packs as well. There's some 60th anniversary sketch cards that are materializing. We opened up a blaster box for $19.99. You also get a throwback commemorative patch card in there, and it comes in its own little pack. And these are manufactured patches, but there's quite a few names on here, from Steven Strasburg to Albert Pujols to Jason Hayward to Joe Mauer to a lot of recognizable. I noticed some A's in there. We pulled a guy, Trevor Cahill, from the A's, but I think Kurt Suzuki plays for the A's. I think there was another A's on here, so at least they're getting represented. There's hanger pack exclusive. Also at the retail level, Target and Walmart have hanger pack exclusive. These are each 15-card set, basically the same players minus a couple player here or two. I noticed Walmart had Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle, and Target had like Derek Jeter. Well, it looks like Walmart has Derek Jeter as well. So if you're a player collector, you want to keep an eye on not just the hobby cards that are out there, but there's also some retail exclusives and things like that. And if you're really into collecting like all their cards, or like a complete team set, or like a complete mat, like I could see, like minus the jerseys and the autographs, you might want to get all the Yankee cards out of here. You might want to get all the San Francisco Giants cards, minus all like the platinum and the one of ones and the gold parallels. And I could see how that could be a realistic goal, getting all the unnumbered base cards and insert cards. That would actually be kind of fun to do. The Kimball champions are in here too. I'm sure there's plenty of every team. And if you're not represented in here, Top Series 2, we already have the checklist up for that as well. But another thing to note, golds are as traditional are numbered to the year 2011. Blacks are numbered out of 60. Platinums are numbered one of one. Canary diamonds are one of one. And there's also printing plates as well. One thing to note, a lot of collectors notice that it's quote unquote twice as hard to pull the golds. I think they were one in four packs, or one in two packs, or eight packs, one of those, but it's about twice as hard to pull them. And so obviously the other hard, the blacks and the platinums, are twice as hard to pull. But we got to remember that there's absolutely zero competition on the market right now. If we had just one other licensed manufacturer, or if MLB didn't have a stranglehold on people creating base cards, they obviously, you can repackage stuff. You can buy, you know, 2010 Steven Strasburgs and put it back. Well, allegedly put it back into rookie retro. That's a whole nother story. Rookie retro baseball. And you can cut signatures and do all kinds of stuff. But you can't print base cards with Albert Pujols' picture on it with the Cardinals, and and have it be collectible for collectors, at least in today's marketplace. So Topps has the corner, has that market just cornered, just totally locked down. It's like having one insurance salesman in a town full of 1 million people. 1 million people for one insurance agent is going to make him probably the most wealthy man in town. You can imagine how Topps. Obviously, there's lots of things that go into this. It's not cheap to have an exclusive baseball license. Not cheap to produce the cards, ship them to Target, package them all up, have it all timed out, do all the things that you need to do. That all costs money. But when there's no competition, I say make as much as you want, because people aren't paying any less for boxes. They're not paying half as much for boxes. So keep that in mind. They're charging you the same price or more for a box, and they're producing twice as much of it or more. So those are the kind of things you want to keep in mind as a collector, especially if you're buying by the box. So you want to be careful about those kind of things. So I just wanted to throw that out to you. That's Top Series 1 baseball. We'll probably talk about it a little bit more. Like I said, the Abe Lincoln last year was like on the back of, like, it was like on the back border, like the wall of a baseball stadium on one of the cards last year. I forget who it was. But that came out a while after the set came out. So these kind of things, not a while, like months or whatever, but it was several days or weeks after the set had came out, and everybody kind of thought everything was in there. So we'll see what maybe materialize. And there's always those million card giveaways. You could hit the diamond one of one card. So it'd be great if we maybe had a member hit one of those, and maybe they could flash their diamond, their real diamond sparkle card. So those are going to be the ones that I would want. If I had a diamond card, I would definitely sell it, but it'd be cool to get. So, but that about wraps it up for this segment. On our next segment, plates and patches football, you might as well check that out. We got the checklist up. I'll be checking that out. We'll check out, you know, what are the hot cards? What have they been selling for? The big money. We'll talk about all that right after this.
Secret destroyer.
About a little bit of Panini Plates and Patches football. This came out January 26, 2011, so a little while ago, but we'll talk about it now. It's a high-end football set, so we might as well give it a shot. Some of the cards have been selling for big money online, so we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's one pack per box, 8 cards per pack. You get one autograph prime memorabilia card. You get 2 autographs numbered to 999 or less. You get one additional autograph or memorabilia card. You get 2 base cards, a parallel, and an insert. So there is some non-autograph stuff in there. You got a nice base set, decent number of cards, 235 to be exact. There's all kinds of inserts in here, lots of jerseys, some autographs. Some of the jersey pieces are rather small. Some of them are kind of large. There's cut signatures in here, 49 of them, I believe. I think you get one per case. So pretty interesting cards. My brother has some reported sales on here. Hobby Box looks like they sell for about $100, so it's not super expensive. A Chris Cooley laundry tag base card. It was a base card parallel numbered 1/1, sold for $99 plus $12 shipping. Wow, that seems like a lot. But this is an interesting set. It's not a huge checklist. Sometimes with these sets, you see like tons of inserts and all kinds of stuff in there. It's not like a massive checklist, so there's not a whole lot of different kind of inserts in here. So it's pretty straightforward. Each of the insert sets have about 25 to 30 cards, sometimes as much as 50. But pretty much the draw is the rookies, the autograph prime rookie cards, and let's check to see what some of those go for. There was a Sam Bradford 1/1 with the NFL tag on it, and that sold for like about $1,100. Looks like a case sold for $1,700. At least that's what somebody was willing to pay. And Aaron Rodgers 1/1. So there's a non rookie card that sold for $800. So that's quite a bit of money. The really interesting card is a City Limits Brett Favre prime autograph jersey card, and the jersey swatch isn't particularly big, but you can see the I and the K from the Vikings in the jersey. Must be up near where the top of the jersey, near the neckline where it says Vikings. That sold for $600. That actually might not be too bad of a price if you're a big-time Brad Favre collector. That's a pretty interesting card. People are still paying big money for Dez Bryant. This is a non-autograph, so no autograph, but it has the NFL logo shield. It was 1/1. Somebody bought that for $400, so that's a lot of money. I don't know if that's game-worn or not, but if it's not, $400 seems like quite a bit of money for that. Some more Brett Favre stuff, 4/4 nameplate, little piece of the nameplate, and his autograph sold for $350. And here's a Michael Vick 1/1 platinum autograph sold for $325. So Michael Vick getting back up there. DeSean Jackson's up there with $300 and something. So some interesting players you don't often think of. Obviously, Brett Favre and the hot rookie Sam Bradford's going to be up there. But Michael Vick's making it up there. DeSean Jackson, two guys in Philly. We'll see if that's where Michael Vick ends up next year. There's a Walter Payton cut signature card. That's a pretty nice card right there for $305. It was, I guess there's 75 of them, so that's a pretty interesting buy. There's a Johnny Unitas cut signature for $279. So it looks like the cut signatures, there's quite a few of them. That's how it used to be back in the day. If you collected when there was cut signatures, before cut signatures became super rare and there was only like one Babe Ruth, there used to be quite a few Mickey Mantles and Joe DiMaggio's and things like that back in the early 2000s. Like SP signature cuts, baseball and stuff like that. But it's interesting to see. So you have some of them, like Paul Brown has 100 of them. He's an old Bengals coach and Bengals owner. His son, I think, is the owner now. So that one's numbered out of 100. That one looks like to be the most plentiful. Jim Thorpe only has one. That one probably is worth a lot of money. Art Rooney has 11 of them. George Halas has 15. So some interesting cuts, some decent numbers on some of those. So there you go on Plates and Patches Football. If you have any luck with that, I've seen some people buy it on the forums and things like that, but haven't seen anybody on our forum or anybody I know have just like super luck with it. So if you do send me an email, you always give us a call, 916-222-1116. At this break, when we come back, we'll talk about UFC knockouts. Some of these cards go for a lot of money. So we'll talk a little bit about the UFC and see what some of those have sold for. This is like a pretty super premium set for Topps. I think it's one of maybe the first or one of the first for UFC, at least at this price point, in delivering some big hits. So we'll talk about UFC knockouts.
Probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty right now. He's probably buying her some fruity little drink, cause she can't shoot whiskey right now. He's probably up behind her with a blue stick, showing her how to shoot a combo, and he don't know.
Back, time to talk a little bit about UFC knockout 2010. I think this is a 2000. I've seen some eBay sellers put 2010, 2011, but I'm pretty sure this is considered 2010 because they actually released the details of this quite a long time ago, but they kept pushing it back. Maybe it was tough to get some of the fighters, because I know the UFC had a fairly busy schedule over the winter and into the holidays. It seems like they have big pay-per-views and they kind of push those out around that time. I'm not really exactly sure why. Maybe it's just how things go, but this is a big set. You know, that's another thing that we could bring up on the show, just kind of as a side point. Be real careful with some of your eBay auctions. I've seen some really bad ones recently. I haven't searched for eBay and cards, but because we're doing the contest with my brother where I got to beat him by buying and selling cards, I'm searching for a lot of stuff on eBay. I'm buying a lot of stuff on eBay, or not a lot of stuff, but I'm definitely searching for a lot. I see some horrible titles, just not listing the year of the card, just listing the player's name and like his team. And it's a nice card. It's like a card that would sell for a lot more if you actually put the year, and then it's a rookie, and then it's autographed and has a jersey, and then maybe the serial numbered or wherever you can fit it. I mean, there's no I don't know how many characters they give you, maybe like 45 to 50. There's absolutely no reason to you have to use all of them. If you can't use all of them, figure out a way to use all of them, or only leave no more than three characters left, because RC is two characters. You can squeeze that in. Auto is four characters. You probably should put auto and autograph if you can fit them both in. It's just, I see a lot of laziness, and it's costing sellers money. But hey, if you don't care, I guess it doesn't matter. But we should get to the task at hand. We're going to talk about Topps UFC Knockout. Again, I'm amazed at some of the prices people pay for some of these autographs. I know there's less of them out there. I know UFC is a real hot sport. And really, you know, there's one place to go for the top fighting. It's UFC, whereas in baseball, there's 30 teams. And in, you know, football, you have all these different teams. And in you even have college. You have college football. You have college basketball. And even college baseball to a certain extent. So you have a lot of competing things. Where the UFC, you have the WEC. You have some things going on overseas and Strikeforce and all these other ones. But really, the top dog is UFC. So whenever a set comes out, people are looking to pay big money. The ones that's cards I have on top are actually the Ring Girls. And I don't know. We'll have to go through eBay and we'll see if any of them are at the top. But I have Ariane Celeste. I know this from my friend. He always knows the names of the Ring Girls. And I'm like, how do you know the name? Before the announcers even says them, he's like, oh, there's Ariane. Hopefully his girlfriend doesn't listen to this. I'll blow his cover. But there's only three of them in there. Brittany Palmer, Chandler Powell, and Ariane Celeste. So they're in there. They're numbered out of 25. You get pieces of the stuff they wear, which can't be very much material. So and you also have their autograph on there. So those will be kind of interesting. You have all kinds of triple threads makes it in here. So you have these triple threads. They actually use the logoing and the branding of triple threads. So somehow triple threads makes it in here. It's very much the same design you've seen in baseball and football this year. So I found that kind of interesting that they kind of just threw the brand in there. I think you could have just done the cards with Knockout, but they decided to throw triple threads in there. Might confuse collectors down the road slightly because this is Topps UFC Knockout with triple threads. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, there's another case right there where I'm telling you do a good job on your eBay titles, but here it's pretty confusing. But I can imagine triple threads since it says it right on the front of the cards is probably the way to go. You got book cards in here, as in most top stuff. You got triple signatures, triple jerseys, and triple or like ring shirts and shorts and whatever they wear. But this has like Royce Gracie stuff in here, Randy Couture, Forrest Griffin autographs, Nate Diaz, he's from Stockton, his brother Nate and Nick. I think Nick's gotten in a little trouble with the UFC, kind of. I think if you get in trouble with management, it's one of those things they'll just send you to the competing strike force or whatever. But Nate hasn't made anybody upset. I think he even won the show there, but they're actually from Stockton and they train not too far from here. I had a friend train with them for a while too. They're good guys. If you go out enough, I don't go out enough in my town, but if you go out enough, you'll see those guys out and around town. So interesting set. You got Rich Franklin here. My buddy took some pictures with him, and he's on card autograph. There's all kinds of interesting cards in here. The base set consists of 150 cards. There's different number of parallels in here. You got tape. I know that there's like some fighter tape cards in here. So, but let's get to see how much this stuff's selling. It looks like an 8-box case is selling for $1,200 or right or $1,100 to $1,200. That seems like a lot of money. A Cain Velasquez 1-of-1 autograph sold for $700, best offer. That just seems like a lot of money to me. Cain Velasquez auto 1-of-5 didn't get a bid. It's $650. Just actually, it seems like there's two inner cases. So if you're buying this, there's an 8-box case, but there's two inner 4-box cases. So you can buy it by like the half case. And those look to sell for about half as much, for about $600. And it looks for about $11 to $12, you can get both inner cases. So that's pretty interesting. Those are selling pretty good, it looks like. There's an Ariane Celeste, actually. It looks like it's a redemption card. And nobody bid on it for $500. That seems like a lot of money. John Bones or John Jones, I think is his name. I can't say maybe I've only seen him fight once. But here's a 1-of-1 jersey autograph sold for $405. 23 bids. I mean, we just talked about a Brett Favre, like Vikings autograph. I don't even know if it got to right around $405. Here's John Bones Jones selling for with lots of bids too. So that's pretty incredible. Junior Dos Santos, one of one, Triple Threads, true one of one, sold for $392. Chuck Liddell, this is a guy that I could definitely see paying some money for. He's not fighting, I don't think, too much anymore. I think he got roughed up his last couple fights. And he kind of got there right as the UFC was taking. He was one of the guys that kind of propelled it up there. But his autographs, one of one with triple relics, some nice looking, maybe even some camo relic in there, sold for $370. That's a lot of money. George St. Pierre, that's an autograph I would buy, but I wouldn't be able to afford it. $350. There's an Ariane Celeste sold for $350. So it's just unbelievable to me that maybe not so, but that just seems like a lot of money. There's a BJ Penn. I know these are one of ones. Here's a Quentin Rampage Jackson, $271 for a 24 out of 25 auto. Got 22 bids, $270 for an autograph, not even one of one. I think it's even a sticker autograph. I know Quentin Rampage is a really cool guy. He's definitely a guy I'd love to hang out with, but man, for $270, I think you could probably find him on the street for $270. So it's just amazing how much some of these guys, you know, even compared to George, there's a George St. Pierre nickname autograph out of 25 that's sold for $250. So Quentin Rampage Jackson is selling for more than George St. Pierre. I consider George St. Pierre like one of the best fighters out there right now. So, man, it's incredible how much this stuff's selling for. If you're not into UFC cards, it might be worth taking a shot at. I think especially if you have big money, I think at the low level, you know, if you pull like a Nate Diaz autograph out of an $80 box, I don't think you're going to be selling that for $100. But, you know, if you do hit one of these ones, one of ones out of 25, I mean, this is a very large checklist. That's another thing that maybe I should note. I kind of breezed over the preview. That's typically what I do when there's about a dozen to maybe even 15 different insert sets. There's a lot of different insert sets in here. A lot of different relic sets, several different book cards, lots of different relic things, but there is a good number of autographs. I think they even have this thing where they'll send you autograph gloves, and they have Loyota Machida, they have Antonio Nogueira in here, Anderson Silva, who's a tremendous fighter, Randy Couture, who's a really cool guy, and Junior Dos Santos, who seems to, his stuff sells for a lot of money. I think he's like an up-and-comer, so just tremendous money people are spending on the. It's interesting that I would be really curious to see if the UFC, if it's really like, if these are like new people, if these are just like casual fighters, like guys that maybe train and want to get to the UFC, or like, you know, just big fans of the sport or whatever, just really identify with the sport, maybe former boxing fans, or are these like baseball collectors, you know, or in basketball, guys that buy Blake Griffin are also buying George St. Pierre one of one autographs or whatever. You know, I'd be really curious to see like who crosses over and buys this. You know, I know just on our forum, I know we only have like 400 or 500 members there, so, but I know I've seen some people talk about the UFC, but it definitely isn't as much as even I think basketball is probably the third most discussed sport, and then there's hockey mixed in there, but I know I don't have sections set up really legitimately for hockey and the UFC, but it just seems like maybe this is just a totally different buyer, somebody that's willing to pay $300-$400 for a George St. Pierre or an Anderson Silva or any of these BJ Penn. You know, that at the same time, you could be buying a Brett Favre, you could be buying a Sam Bradford, you could be buying Tim Tebow, you could be buying anybody, Adrian Peterson, Chris Johnson, you could be buying Albert Pujols autographs, you could be buying just about any autograph. $300-$400 for an autograph card, even a one of one, is a tremendous amount of money, especially a non quote unquote rookie. So I just think, you know, maybe it must be a different kind of buyer that doesn't pay attention to what other athletes and other sports are typically selling for. Maybe it's because it's not quite as oversaturated. I know there's Brett Favre's and Tim Tebow's and Kobe Bryant's like at every set, But it just seems like people are paying a lot of money for this stuff. Even Michael Jordan's, I know Michael Jordan's stuff sells for a lot of money on a routine basis, but the breadth of fighters that sell for a lot of money in the UFC really kind of amazed me as I was going through this set. I know it's really expensive. I probably should tell you what you get per box. Like we talked about, there's two inner cases, but there's 8 packs per box. You get 2 autograph relic cards per box, 2 autograph cards per box, and you get 4 relic cards per box. So you get the 8 hits, 1 per pack, and you get 1 autograph memorabilia card in each little mini box. So it actually comes in the mini. So I guess you go all the way down and buy the mini box. So this set seems to be selling pretty well. The singles inside seem to be selling pretty well. I can imagine $1,200 for a whole case of this. That's probably pretty decent. I know we're looking at the top end. I'm sorting on eBay by like the highest price. But when you see, you know, about a half dozen sell for that range, that just seems like a lot of money. And when I see Cain Velasquez, who got like kicked in the face, I think he was the guy that got kicked in the face by Anderson Silva, one of one autograph sell for $700. Just seems like, wow, that's just like a lot of money. I mean, I don't even think that's a case hit or even close to being a case hit, because it's just an autograph, doesn't have a piece of memorabilia. It's not even on card. So that's why I just think the buyers of these are just a totally different buyer. And that's great. I think you bring in UFC people, they probably casually watch baseball, they probably casually watch football, they probably casually watch other sports, and you have the potential, if they really enjoy UFC cards, hey, they'll buy Tim Duncan, they'll buy whoever else is in their area, or whoever else they're fans of. So I think that's just my assumption, because when I see these prices, I just don't see a guy that's used to be paying X amount of money for Pujols and Jeters and those kind of big name autographs, and then you come to the UFC and you're paying the same price basically for a guy that got kicked in the face. I mean, no offense to these guys train really hard, and these guys you could tie both hands behind their back and they would kill me. They would kill any of us in a fight, unless you have some training in that. So, or you're just really big and strong, which none of that qualifies as me, but and definitely I'm not going to be qualified to buy this set. So that was interesting. UFC Knockout. Check it out if you got big money and you're a big-time gambler. I think you might have some fun with this. There's some decent stuff in here, and it looks like the stuff sells, at least at the top end, the one-of-ones, the stuff less than 25. Obviously, the lesser hits, that's in quotes, because it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of this stuff out there. A lot of it is fairly low serial numbered, so that's UFC Knockout for you, and that might have just knocked out the show and this program. I think we wrapped it up. So head on over to sportscardradio.com. Check out my challenge with my brother. I'm up some money since recording the first segment of the show. I'm up like $2. I think my brother's up like 40 cents. He's made more sales than I have, but I've hit the big time. And I actually have half my bankroll in cash. So I have the rest of this money. I have to spend, I think, at least $10 of that, so, or right around that much. So I have about half my bankroll in cash. So I have $20 to spend. So I'll be on, check out my cards. I'll be on eBay. I'll be on all the places looking for cards, looking for good deals. If you have any of them, you can send me an email at sportscardshow@gmail.com. You can hop on our forum at sportscardradio.com/forum. And talk about all the different things. There's all kinds of people posting all kinds of cool stuff. We have actually a really nice balance on the forum. We have like older people, we have younger people, people that post a lot, people that don't post as much, but when they do, it's really cool. People that post nice, really nice photos of their cards and things like that in their collection. I always enjoy reading all those. It's now to the point on the forum where I'm definitely reading more posts, because there's more posts there than I can keep up with replying. Whereas in the past, we only had maybe a handful of people there every day, a handful of people posting. So I was able to read them and often get involved in the discussion. Now we have so many posts that sometimes I just don't get involved in all of them. But I'm definitely reading all of them, staying in touch with all of your collections. And I definitely wish you luck Be careful on eBay. Search around. There's all kinds of good deals. Unless it's that like truly special one-of-one card, that one-of-one grade, or like that card that just doesn't come up very often. And you should know that. You know, if you're early on in your collection and you're early on in collecting, you're just getting back into it after, you know, skipping a while, you know, really identify those truly one-of-one hits. You know, a one-of-one in UFC knockout, yeah, it might be a really nice card right now, but they're coming out with more. I've just put up like another UFC set just a couple days ago, that title shot that comes out in 2 or 3 months. They'll have Anderson Silva one-of-ones. They're going to have Chuck Liddell on-card autographs in there that actually look kind of neat. They're going to have all kinds of stuff in there. So, you know, the cards keep coming back up, whereas rookie cards, certain players that don't, you know, end up not signing very much anymore, especially rookie cards, especially exquisite rookie cards, those tend to go up in price. You can find them fairly affordable sometimes. Just as a heads up, Roy Hibbert and I think Lewis Williams of the Sixers, and Roy Hibbert's on Indiana. These are just two random throwouts. If you have a decent amount of money and you like investing in cards, I would suggest taking a look at seeing how much their exquisite cards sell for. I don't think they sell for quite as much as they might in the future, because you can just go look how much Kevin Love and like how much Russell Westbrook's. I know those players are on a whole step above, because both of them are in the All-Star game. But Roy Hibbert's a guy that I think could, we've just turned this into like fantasy basketball or like up-and-coming basketball prospect hour here at the tail end of the show. But I think Roy Hibbert has the potential to do some things. Lou Williams might get traded, or he might end up staying in Sixer land, but they might end up trading some other people in Philly that might end up giving a bigger opportunity, bigger role there. I think his exquisite sells for even cheaper than Roy's does. So you want to keep an eye on those players. And the last one is Dwan Blair. Keep an eye on this guy. He's not going to fill the stat sheet up like Kevin Love, even to Roy Hibbert or even Lou Williams. This guy's not even going to come close to them. But the thing about him is he's going to be on TV that last couple weeks of the season, that all those playoff games, the Spurs are locked in. And what they're end up going to do is they're probably going to rest Tim Duncan the last couple games of the season, or I mean, they might have it locked up where they can rest him the last 10 games of the season. I knew Manu's been banged up and he's kind of been resting. Even Tony has been rumored in some trades, but I think they'll end up keeping the team together. But even he might rest, because the Spurs don't have a tremendous... They do have some depth, but they don't have a tremendous amount of depth with experience like they have in the past. So Dwan Blair's a guy that might get some minutes down the stretch. They don't have somebody that can totally fill his position, especially if they're resting Tim Duncan. Dwan Blair is a guy... I don't even know if that's how you... It may be Daywan Blair. It's D-E-J-U-A-N... B-L-A-I-R, Dwan Blair. I like this kid. Plays well. He's undersized, but has good footwork, can box out. The point being is the Spurs definitely have a chance to get to the Western Conference Finals and possibly the NBA Finals. So he'll be on TV a lot, and that always means good things with cards, especially guys that are under-collected, guys that were rookies last year, guys that nobody pays attention to. That's when you could see a nice move up. Not a nice move, but not, we're not talking hundreds of bucks, because his National Treasures actually sells for over $100. So those cards sell for a lot of money. Man, no wonder the boxes sell for $600 if a Dwan Blair sells for like $100. But this is a guy that could see some time. He's definitely seen, he's a starter and sees decent amount of minutes now, puts up good rebounding numbers, puts up good numbers across the board. Not typically explosive numbers, not anything over 15 points a game or, you know, 12 rebounds, but he occasionally gets in that 20 and sometimes like even 18 to 20 rebound number, but not always. But the point being, Tim Duncan's getting old. The Spurs might need him during the playoff run. His cards might go up. So I've been following basketball. We'll see where it goes. I think pitchers and catchers report for baseball by the time you listen to this. So we'll have plenty of baseball. We're going to be doing our prospect show coming up on the podcast as well. And we'll talk about prospects. and see who's going to be good this year. We talked, I think, about Strasburg and Hayward and Starlin Castro and Jose Iglesias and all kinds of guys last year. Helixson, and I don't know. There was all kinds of guys on that list that ended up doing pretty good. Carlos Santana, I think we talked about before any of these guys even really did a whole bunch. So hopefully we hit a home run again this year. I have a couple of guys already lined up, a couple of guys I already know that I'm going to talk about, and then I'll go through and find a few more for you, and we'll have that maybe on the next show, maybe show after that. We'll see, but it should be here pretty soon. Right as the pitchers and the catchers report for spring training. So lots of baseball, basketball, and if football has a season, we'll talk about that too. But that's all we're going to talk about on today's program. So good luck with your collections. Hopefully, check out Sports Card Radio this week. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. Do what you need to do. But for now, we're out of here.